This is the United Nations in New York. I'm Jocelyn Sambira. In today's program, Cyprus talks are a unique opportunity, says UN negotiator, and young people are being urged to mobilize support for a nuclear weapon-free world. But first, a bulletin of news from Deanne Penn.
52 migrants are lost, suspected dead in a desert in central Niger after they were reportedly abandoned by people smugglers, the UN said on Tuesday. The information from the International Organization for Migration, or IOM, follows an alert by more than 20 survivors who said they had been part of a convoy of three cars traveling north. Efforts to find the lost travelers at the weekend were hampered by a sandstorm, and their bodies have yet to be found. In a statement, IOM said that the migrants were from the Gambia, Nigeria, Senegal, and Côte d'Ivoire. The survivors have been taken to Dirku in northeast Niger, where they will receive food, shelter, and medical and other assistance. United Kingdom Prime Minister Theresa May's call for people's freedoms to be overturned if they got in the way of the fight against terrorism are highly regrettable, UN Human Rights Chief Zayed Raad Al Hussein has said. We get that story from Daniel Johnson in Geneva.
Speaking in London, Zayed said that Mrs. May's comments were a gift to every authoritarian figure around the world who violates human rights under the pretext of fighting violent extremism. He added that the only workable antidote to the arbitrary nature of terrorism was precisely applied international law. The High Commissioner for Human Rights told the Law Society that a former Sri Lankan official had cited the UK Premier before demanding action against his office for forcing Sri Lanka to try war crimes perpetrators when all it had been doing was fighting terrorism. In Iraq, Zayed added that public calls to kill youngsters who fight for ISIL ignored the fact that criminals had rights too. Daniel Johnson, United Nations, Geneva.
Entrepreneurs are key to fighting poverty, a senior UN business leader said on Tuesday to mark the first Micro, Small and Medium-Sized Enterprises Day. Arancha Gonzalez, executive director of the International Trade Center, said that small businesses are the backbone of most economies worldwide, and yet they face many obstacles.
Today, they don't have access to credit. There is too much red tape. They are not competitive enough to participate in international trade. And because they don't participate in international trade, the quality of their growth is lower. The quality of the jobs they generate is lower.
Data provided by the International Council for Small Business indicates that micro, small and medium-sized enterprises account for up to 70% of national employment and half of countries' wealth. And, related to this, five UN agencies have launched a campaign to boost youth entrepreneurship and self-employment. The Global Initiative on Decent Jobs for Youth focuses on action that tackles obstacles that block young entrepreneurs, such as limited access to capital and insufficient support for skills development. More than 70 million young people worldwide are jobless, according to UN estimates. Deanne Penn, United Nations.
A fresh round of talks to decide the future of Cyprus will last as long as it takes, but there are no guarantees of success, the UN negotiator leading the process said on Tuesday. Speaking to journalists in Geneva, Espen Bart Ida said that the talks were not the last chance, but they were the best chance of reaching an agreement between Greek Cypriots and Turkish Cypriots. He highlighted, however, that sticking points remain between delegations as they prepare to meet in a secluded Swiss mountain resort. Here's Daniel Johnson in Geneva.
Work to find an agreement that could reunite Cyprus begins on Tuesday evening in Crans-Montana, a resort high in the Swiss Alps that's better known for its skiing than peace talks. Ahead of that meeting, the first since UN-led talks ended in January, UN negotiator Espen Barth Eder indicated that there would be little time to enjoy the fresh air or the mountain views.
Make no mistake, it's not going to be easy. There is no guarantee of success. The Secretary-General and I will do our utmost to help. So will the Security Council, which has remained throughout this process very united on this. So will the European Union, which is lending extremely important and productive support. So will the international financial institutions, which are directly involved in this. But none of us can do it for the participants.
After decades of division in Cyprus dating back to 1974, Espen Barth Eder said that this was the best chance for successful talks and not the last chance, despite the risks and the tense situation on the Mediterranean island. The UN negotiator went on to explain that both Greek Cypriot leader Nikos Anastasiadis and his Turkish Cypriot counterpart Mustafa Akinci were elected on a reunification ticket. The agreement was something that the so-called guarantor powers, Greece, Turkey, the United Kingdom and the European Union wanted too, he said. There are six main topics up for discussion. They include new territorial boundaries, power sharing and the economy. Agreement has been found on most of these chapters, broadly, and concrete progress achieved, Mr. Ada said. The Turkish Cypriot delegation had assented to what he called a significant return of territory to the Greek Cypriots, and both sides had also presented maps to each other in Geneva in January. An historic first, the UN negotiator told journalists. Nonetheless, Mr. Ada said that the Greek Cypriot and Turkish Cypriot positions still diverge on the issue of security and guarantees.
What I'm saying is that on these five chapters, we've made substantive progress on the issue which is most complicated right now and in very much in focus now, and also why the guarantors and others will be present, is the security and guarantees chapter. That's where the sides are so far opposed. But they've also told each other and the world many times that they are trying to seek a common vision also on that chapter, and that's what we're trying to do these days.
Mr. Ada insisted that this shared viewpoint was something only the Greek Cypriots and the Turkish Cypriots could do by talking together. The UN would be there to help both sides find common ground, he said, so that an agreement owned by the people of Cyprus could prevail. Daniel Johnson, United Nations, Geneva.
Young people can help mobilize support for a nuclear weapon-free world by spreading the word through social media, according to the head of a UN partner organization working to end nuclear testing, Lassina Zerbo, Secretary General of the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization, CTBTO, was speaking ahead of a meeting which opens on Tuesday and runs through Friday. The Science and Technology 2017 conference is being held in Vienna, Austria, and aims at strengthening compliance with the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty, CTBT, which prohibits nuclear explosions anywhere in the world. The conference will include a special focus on youth and young scientists, Mr. Zerbo told Rocio Franco.
I initiated the youth group a year and a half ago during the 20th anniversary of the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty for a simple reason. Because the world has changed. With social media, youth are not only the leaders of tomorrow, but the leaders of today. There's no way we can take a global agenda without involving youth, because they're part of it anyway. The best way is to get them well informed, to give them the tools, to use the tools that they have, which is social media. In that sense, they will spread the word on global issue, reaching as far as those who probably must have heard about the issue, but who don't know more about it, because they're not at the source of the information.
For those who don't know, like the common citizen, what is the treaty about? Can you talk about it and why it's so important?
The Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty was negotiated for over 50 years and opened for signature 21 years ago. The treaty itself prohibits nuclear test explosion anywhere, underwater, in the air, and underground. We've been advocating not only for its entry into force, but also developing an international monitoring system and a verification mechanism to serve the purpose of the treaty. And this is what the Commission in Vienna is working about.
But this treaty has not entered into force yet. Which are the countries that need to sign and ratify, and how to convince them to be part of a treaty?
We have 183 countries that have signed the treaty, and 106 that have ratified. We have 8 countries which ratification is basically holding the entry into force of the CTBT. And those are the United States and China. Then you have Iran, Israel, and Egypt. Then you have India and Pakistan, including North Korea. But the beauty of the youth, since we talked about it, is that we have youth group members from both India, Pakistan. We have youth group members from 7 of the 8 remaining Annex II countries, excluding North Korea. So we're trying to develop capacity with the youth from those 8 remaining countries to educate them and get them to be well acquainted with the treaty so that they can help make the difference in their respective countries. And this is why it's so important to involve the youth today to both science and policy behind the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty.
You've been listening to today's news and features program from the United Nations in New York. I'm Jocelyn Sambira. Thanks for listening.